All right. What a joy and privilege and honor it is to stand before you this afternoon. Be preaching from the thought, the night a Savior was born. Thank God for Chantel and Chalice and Sunlight, who has brought in the Advent season with just great, great music. And speaking of just great music and the Christmas time and it being Advent season, put your hands together for the decorating committee who has decorated the sanctuary. Doesn't it look wonderful this morning? Man. Man. Speaking of it being Christmas, someone said there are four ages to life at Christmas. The first is when you believe in Santa. The second is when you don't believe in Santa. The third is when you become Santa. And the fourth is when you begin to look like Santa. What stage or age are you in today? Amen. Once again, it's a joy, privilege, and honor to stand before you. I was privileged when Dan invited me to speak this morning. And I'm going to continue throughout the book of Luke, and I want to give you a disclaimer now to be open and available to a different twist on the Advent text this morning. I'm taking a different angle. If you'll just bring up the scriptures, and before we read them, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. Can't preach without you, so we invoke and invite now the presence of your Holy Spirit. Speak to me, through me, and for me. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O God, my rock and my radical redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God for Luke, because Luke has a way of delayering the text and delayering Jesus. Just in one verse, we're going to read it in just a minute, verse 11, we find three key things from this one verse. Chapter 2, verse 11. First of all, we find the place of the Lord's birth. Second of all, we find the purpose of the Lord's birth. And thirdly, we identify the power of the Lord's birth, the place, the purpose, and the power of the Lord's birth. We'll get to that in just 1 minute. But let's now go to the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For it reads, "For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And also for our immediate text, pericope here in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" If you can just keep that up, let's look again at verse 11. It says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And that is really going to be the primary text, because we're going to hone in on two deals there, two aspects there. David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That reveals the place of the Lord's birth. It also reveals the purpose of his birth. If you'll pay attention to David, a Savior. Today in the town of David, a Savior is going to be born. The power of this birth is this: he is Christ the Lord. Whenever we talk about Christ and the Messiah and the Lordship, that reveals the power and the authority that Jesus has. And so we celebrate once again today the place and the purpose and the power of our Lord's birth. Thank you so much, Alice. The premise this morning is this: the local birth of Jesus in Bethlehem really marks the global blessing for all the world. The local birth of Jesus in Bethlehem is a global and a universal blessing for all humanity. That means the entire world. The hymnologist Joseph Moore in 1816 described it as being, friends, a silent night, a holy night, when all was calm and all was bright. Shepherds kept watch over their flocks by night. Oh, can't you see the velvety dark sky holding the twilight from the moon's glow? Christmas lights, oh, excuse me, stars were shining brightly as if they were diamonds delivered from a thousand nights of darkness. What night is this? Oh, you haven't heard? This was the night a Savior was born. This was the night God decided to finally show the world His face. This was the night He decided to share with us eternal salvation and grace. This, my friends, was the night a Savior was born. I hope you can see it. Push, Mary, push. The world is waiting. Breathe, Mary, breathe. For your eyes will be the first to see the crown of the Lord's glory. Joseph, quick, bring me a blanket. Swaddle him so that I can hold him. Bring him to me so that I may nurse him. This, my friends, was the night a Savior was born. Isaiah prophesied, he captures the richness of this moment when he pens, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." Now, Luke doesn't tell us what day of week it is. He doesn't give us the hour, but he alludes to the place being in the city of David. And this brings the whole topic of Bethlehem into place. What a divine and special place. It's the birth home, the birthplace of Jesus the Christ. Bethlehem. A friend, a great friend of mine, introduced from the Celtic tradition or the Celtic. I don't know what tradition you're from, Celtic or Celtic, potato, potato, tomato, tomato, whichever one you prefer. But from the Celtic Christians, they had a notion of thin places. How many of you have ever heard of thin places? Thin places. Only one hand, two hands. Thin places are those places where the veil between heaven and earth becomes so thin, both worlds actually touch and mesh, becoming a new atmosphere. And within thin places, miracles take place. In thin places, saviors are born. And so Bethlehem can be deemed as a thin place. Another great example of a thin place is Jacob. You recall Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, when he laid his head at Bethel on a rock, he saw a stairway extending from heaven into the earth. And angels were ascending and descending, walking down this stairwell. And that can be deemed a thin place. Thin places. Great things happen when we visit thin places. I remember even going to Stone Mountain and just looking out, and it felt as if I was so close to heaven's door. Thin places, places of where the veil is so thin, heaven begins to interact with earth. Heaven blesses earth with bliss and blessing, and the two worlds collide and they kiss and they create a wonderful, miraculous atmosphere. And friends, I believe that Bethlehem was a place that can be deemed a thin place. Two other great examples of thin places could be Joseph. When Joseph was visited by the angel and the angel told him that Mary would conceive and then Mary revealed that she was pregnant, Joseph didn't say, "Wait a minute, hold up." He didn't take steps back, but he was open and available to experience the miraculous birth of Christ. Joseph was serving as a thin place. And also Mary, when she spoke to Gabriel, when Gabriel revealed, Mary, you're going to conceive, you're going to give birth to Jesus. She said these words, may it be unto me according to your will, according to your word. Mary became open and available, and heaven had its way through Mary. And it was through Mary that the greatest asset of heaven was transferred in the earth. Do you realize that when Jesus was born, the greatest asset of God was given unto the world? And it came through a thin place. What about you this morning, if you're not already? Is it possible that God can use you and I as one of his thin places? A place of where the agenda of God gets priority. A place of where God's purpose is fulfilled through something you say and do. I believe too many of us, we look at the nativity scene, the birth of Christ, as only occurring one time. That in Bethlehem, the birth of Christ occurred and that's it. But guess what? I believe the birth continues through the church even today. That it is something that you and I can say or do that can create a rebirth to occur in a non-believer's heart. It's something that you and I can participate in, friends. You and I can actually become thin places for the glory of God. Amen, church? Thin places for the glory of God. A story was told, James Moore revealed in the book Christmas Reflections. He described what Bethlehem was like when he visited one January years ago. He said he took a trip there and there were just long lines and kids begging for the American dollar and people trying to sell postcards. It became an atmosphere of a carnival. And he was just frustrated and discouraged, and he wandered into a nearby nativity chapel. And there within that nativity chapel was a 7-year-old girl, and she began to kneel and pray, and she uttered these words, "Thank you, God, for being born in this place." And he said, in an instant, the innocence of that child's prayer rebirthed Christmas in his heart all over again. How many of you realize that that little girl was praying? She was serving as one of God's thin places. Heaven was experienced. Joy was experienced. Power was experienced. What about you? Can you serve as one of God's thin places? Let us go back to the text in verse 11. It says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior has been born to you. What does this mean? What is a Savior? What does a Savior do? A Savior is one who delivers from present and future danger or distress. A Savior is one who brings salvation. I never will forget when my dad took me fishing when I was just a little boy learning how to throw the reeling rod out in the ocean. We were standing on the coast along these rocks, and I was getting ready to throw the rod out for the first time, and my dad threw his pole down, and he quickly picked me up, and a huge eel came up with its mouth open, and it went back down. And just within that moment, I felt safe. I felt as if I had been saved. And it was just temporary salvation because, you know, we men, we get our bearings back together. And guess what? We still have to catch dinner. So we went back fishing again. It was temporary salvation. How many of you look at the TV series Survivor by show of hands? Survivor. Well, you'll know if you look at that, it's really a game show. The only thing that can really save you if you don't win the round is something called immunity. Right? And if you're granted immunity will grant you a means of getting through to the next round, and you can't be voted off if you get the immunity award. But immunity only lasts for a round or two. And the good news that I'm talking about today is that when Jesus was born, salvation was born forever. And it's the gift that keeps on giving. We are born again forever. In other words, it's a gift without an expiration date. Amen, church. That's good news this morning. And so Jesus' salvation is forever. I think it's Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham, who gives us 10 points regarding if Jesus is your Savior. Listen to these 10. If Jesus is your Savior this morning, your sins are forgiven. Number 2, your guilt is atoned for. Number 3, your past is removed. Number 4, your future is secured. Number five, you have peace in your heart. Number six, you have purpose to your step. Number seven, you have a song on your lips. Number eight, you are saved from hell. Number nine, you are right with God. You're in right standing with God. And number 10, you are going to heaven. Your future is secured. But friends, in essence, what does this all mean? It means the deity of Christ can save us, and the humanity of Christ understands us. This is good news for somebody this morning. The deity of Christ can save you, and the humanity of Christ understands and knows all about you, can relate to you. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 shares it this way. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Once again, friends, we ought to rejoice this morning because salvation was born. It wasn't just a little boy, but our forgiveness was born. Our redemption was born. Our freedom in the faith was born. In closing, I want to share with you just another example of a thin place. And I pray that this story will encourage you to become a more effective thin place for the glory of God. His name is Efren Pena Florida. He was born March 5th, 1981. He is a 27-year-old teacher in the Philippines, and he has been named CNN Hero of the Year for his outstanding advocacy to educate Filipino out-of-school youth through, catch this, pushcart classes. Efren came up with the concept. His dad, by trade, was a tricycle driver. And he extended the same concept, and he began to wheel around educational resources. And in villages in Philippines, he took books and paper and pad, and he began to teach children how to read. And I want you to listen to the speech that he gave that night when he received this reward. He says this in closing: "Our planet is filled with heroes, young and old, rich and poor, man, woman of different colors, shapes and sizes. We are one great tapestry. Each person has a hidden hero within. You just have to look inside of you and search it in your heart and be the hero to the next one in need. So to each and every person inside this theater and for those who are watching at home, the hero in you is waiting to be unleashed. Serve. Serve well. Serve others above yourself and be happy to serve. As I always tell my co-volunteers, you are the change that you dream, as I am the change that I dream, and collectively we are the change that this world needs to be." This, my friends, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to Almighty God. Let us go to the Lord now in prayer. God, we thank you so much for this moment. God, we thank you so much for the church, which is a thin place. We pray, oh God, to participate in the birth story of Jesus Christ this Advent season, that we would live in such a way that the rebirth of Christ would take place in our hearts and in the hearts of non-believers. Lord, if there is someone here today who does not know you as personal Lord and Savior, delayer their hearts, create within them a sense of a thin place, and pour your Spirit in them like never before. In the name of Jesus, we thank you now, and we bless your holy and your righteous name. And the people of God agreed in prayer and said, Amen.